Let us pray. Mighty and loving God, today we hear the story of your resurrection. We hear the story of how even the power of death could not contain you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would breathe life into us. Breathe life into our world. Remind us when we are without hope of the hope of the resurrection, the hope and relief of life with you. Be with us as we hear your word this day, and may it light our path and guide us all of our days. Amen. Our first scripture comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 118, verses 1 through 2, and then continuing on at 14 through 24. Hear the word of the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. There is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our second scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke 24, verses 1 through 2. Hear the gospel. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other woman who were with them, who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You're getting better. You're getting better. Easter is here. Christ is risen. I hope you're all very excited about today, even if you have a full dinner to make and prepare. I hope you're excited. Even if you have a full house to yet clean and make ready, even if you have a huge bag of Easter eggs to hide for kids, or a whole house full of candy for those kids to eat, or not kids, adults. Because we eat candy too. I'll be honest, you don't need to add Sunday onto the whole Easter statement, since the last time I checked, Easter never falls on a Tuesday. So happy Easter to you all. Today is the day of celebration where we remember that the tomb that held Jesus is open and that Christ is alive. And I hope for all of you that you feel relief today. Relief is a fairly interesting word in this time of the church calendar. Think for a little bit, not just about Easter, but the day of Easter. In Scripture, it talks often about things happening and people not necessarily catching on to what's going on. John's Gospel has one great passage which says, "For as yet they did not understand the Scripture that he must rise from the dead." The people, bit by bit, learn what's happened. And there's this sense of revelation that goes on, piece by piece, almost filtering out like ripples of a rock hitting water. People, bit by bit, start to understand and pay attention. Think about the fact that all the while Jesus is walking and teaching his disciples, he's telling them about what's going to happen, what will be. And yet, there's this almost dissonant moment where everybody hears him say it and not a single one of them paid attention to it. He's even mocked for these teachings as he hangs on the cross. And yet, none of them seem to have put two and two together. There's this confusion and shock and wonder going on, in part because they don't know what's going to happen next. They don't know the full piece of the story. They're in the story. They can't go to Barnes & Noble or onto a Kindle and find a specific book that explains all the various pieces of the resurrection. They pay attention and then remember. And when they remember, there's relief. We've been kind of in a waiting period, haven't we, since Ash Wednesday? We've been waiting and waiting and waiting for today. When I think about waiting, one particular type of moment always comes to mind. And that's after my parents announced that Grandpa and Grandma Peckich were coming to visit. Now, Grand Haven, Michigan is only about an hour away, but we were excited that they were coming. And so my brother and I would always plop ourselves down on the front stoop as early as 9 o'clock or whenever we managed to get all our chores done on a Saturday and wait for Grandpa and Grandma to show up. And then we waited. And then we waited. And then it was lunchtime, and we'd go in really quick and just wolf down our food. And then we'd go out and wait on the front stoop some more. Until finally we saw Grandpa's car, and we always knew it was Grandpa's car because it was hard to miss that head of his. It was bald and it was big, a very Croatian head. And when you saw Grandpa and Grandma crest that hill, all of a sudden we were like, you know, it was like going to a candy store. And we'd mob the car and, "Grandpa, Grandpa, Grandpa, Grandma, Grandma, Grandma." And Grandpa was always like, "All right, calm down, calm down." I don't think he quite realized that since 9 o'clock we were there waiting and he finally showed up. The fact is, waiting finally paid off. Or wasted a bunch of time, depending on your view. For the world, we've been waiting like those two boys on the front stoop, waiting and waiting. The world was waiting for Christ. Not with an expectation that Christ would enter the world again out of the tomb, that suddenly the stone would roll away. They're waiting to see what would happen next. They were waiting to see what was going to happen next. They knew that Jesus was dead, that they had laid him in the tomb. They knew the suffering that he had gone through. They also knew that he had promised to rise again. And those two things, what was promised and what was, are sitting in tension. They know what is and what was promised to be. And so they have to wait. There's an almost eeriness that happens in this moment. Think about it. The whole church, the whole followers of Christ are waiting and waiting. To get a sense of the eeriness of this, think about this timeline for you. A church is a very, 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 almost painfully quiet place on Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. And when I say quiet, I mean creepily quiet. Yes, on Thursday we had worship and a potluck and the woodworkers were here, but that was it. There were no kids in the nursery school making noise resounding throughout the building. There was no Cub Scouts this week. There was a sense of quiet, of silence. And before you think that that was beautiful and wonderful, as your minister had three sermons to write and three services to prepare for, it was creepy. This week, the AARP had finished their tax prep. So what had been a revolving door of the front doors of the church suddenly stood silent as both the church now, the church then, waited. And then all of a sudden comes today. And the noise comes back. The sounds come back. Life comes back. Easter is all about the relief that happens. Not necessarily immediately coming, but relief. Think about it. There's the relief of taking that cup of coffee that you have given up all of Lent, sitting down and just drinking it. I'm thinking of you, Russ. There's something of taking that sweet that you've given up for Lent and just sinking your teeth into it and almost excruciatingly chewing that sweet. If you gave up sweets, I'm sorry. There's the relief that finally, after your whole day and innumerable guests in your house, it's 9 o'clock and the house is finally silent on Easter. And you can put up your feet and probably fall asleep. You don't have kids running around on a sugar high rivaling Halloween. You don't have guests taxing your ability to keep your house clean, but also manage to put dinner on the table in time and also taxing your sanity. No, that's one form of relief. But the relief we really feel is knowing that what Christ said came to be. What he had spoken of and predicted was. Throughout his ministry, Jesus doesn't shy away from the reality that down the road, he will go to the cross and die. He states also that he will rise again at some point. After 3 days, he will rise again. He goes to the cross for our sins. And as they would say during the Passover, Dayenu, or it would have been enough. But God didn't stop just there. Think about this from a human, simple perspective. When humans make promises, when we say the next step, the next piece, Often we either know who to trust and who not to trust. We have lawyers who make a very good living off of making promises happen or suing somebody if they don't. The fact is, in our world, we know that not everybody, when they make a promise, is going to carry it out. And yet we look at this moment of Easter, of Christ following through, and we know that whatever happens, Christ will follow through, always. That's a relief. The relief that whatever happens amongst humans, the reality is Christ will always be there and will always follow through. Christ does not make idle promises like that relative who says, yeah, I'll be there at 1 o'clock, and then 3 o'clock rolls around and they walk through the door. What? I said 3, right? We all have that person, and I'm sorry if you are that person. The fact is, we know that Christ will be there. Christ will say something, and we can trust in it. We know that Christ has come and brought hope and relief to us. Lost amongst the Easter hams, the baskets, jelly beans, and chocolate bunnies, there's this greater sense of relief in our lives that comes as a result of Easter. Up to this moment in the world before Easter, death held the final word. Death was the end. Death was the final reckoning. No matter how good you were or how you followed God, there was the end and it was death. But then Christ goes and breaks death. Christ goes and shatters the reality that was death. Think for a moment of how seismically the world shifts when the door, the rock in front of the tomb, opens and Christ leaves. The final reality of the world was death, and suddenly reality is done. Death no longer holds sway. Death no longer is the final word, but life, eternal life, is. Suddenly, the reality has shifted. And not just that Christ is risen, but that death no longer holds power. And so we have hope and relief that Christ will be with us, not just to the end of our days, but to the end of our days and the new life that begins after that. The days of Easter and Good Friday are all about relief. They're all about the true greatness of how seismically shifted our world has become. In the period of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, God, through the Son, Jesus Christ, changed the world. Instead of the powers of sin and death being the final words, the final end of the world for us, suddenly, we have freedom from sin and new life in Christ. When a loved one dies, we gather together at a funeral. That funeral service isn't just a service. It is for us to bear witness to the truth of the resurrection because of the shift that has happened, because of the change in our world. Jesus gave us relief on Easter and Good Friday, not from the responsibilities of hosting family and friends, I'm sorry. Not from the powers of the oppressive Roman government, as the people who put him in the position of being on the cross wanted. But true relief from the real oppressors in our lives, the oppressors of sin and death. Often we get lost in talking about the gift that has been given, the gift that is today. Maybe it's because we have to grapple with our own mortality and lack of power regarding sin and death over these last few days. Today we can sit back and feel relief. Relief that the tomb is empty. Relief that Christ has died for us. Relief that we have eternal life with him. I hope that today all of you will feel the relief that the women felt when they put two and two together and realized what had happened. When they were able to joyfully and joyously go and tell the 11 and all who would listen of what they had found. I hope that today truly is a day of relief for all of you. Amen.